for halfway day. See? Things move by so quick. Proving once again the whole thing is pointless and monotonous and just heading toward an eternal abysmal cataclysm of death. Wow! I don't know where that came from, but not from the weekend time. So we're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com, welcoming you to the 23rd of June. The folks that are bringing it to you today, well, the man that has the same answer for these questions he keeps getting from his bosses, it's podcaster Dritz Siegfried.
God damn it, I don't have an anger control issue!
No, I see that. You're very, as the kids say, chill. Kids don't say that, right? Hey, I'm the guy that gets it done no matter what the man says. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
A vigilante, a public menace.
Well, I mean, one of those is correct. We'll see, we'll leave it at that. What happened today, sir?
In 1775, the first American-made book entitled Impenetrable Secret advertised in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
1868, Christopher Latham Sholes, Carlos Glidden, and Samuel L. Soule of Milwaukee, Wisconsin are granted a patent entitled Improvement in Typewriting Machines. The Sholes and Glidden typewriter, only equipped with capital letters, and typists can't tell if they're making errors because the paper can't be seen as it's being typed upon.
1926, the College Board administers the first SAT exam.
1928, in Germany, a rocket-powered automobile built by Opel crashed during testing after reaching a speed of 156 miles an hour.
1931, aviators Wiley Hardiman Post and Harold Gaddy took off from New York on the first flight around the world in a single-engine plane.
1938, the first Oceanarium opens at Marineland in St. Augustine, Florida.
1961, an X-15 jet airplane sets a new world speed record, traveling over 3,000 miles per hour at Edwards Air Force Base, California.
1964, a patent is issued to Jack St. Clair Kilby for his miniaturized electronic circuits, which will later be known as integrated circuits.
1982, an all-time historical low temperature of negative 117 degrees Fahrenheit is recorded at the South Pole.
And last year, it reached 118 degrees Fahrenheit in Siberia. 1983, Paul V. Mockpetris and Jonathan Bruce Postel of the Information Science Institute and the University of Southern California run the first successful test of their automated domain name system, DNS, which allow users to use human-readable names for machines rather than the machine's physical addresses, which are just so hard to remember.
1986, Nicky Santoro and his brother are found dead, having been beaten with baseball bats and buried alive for ruining mob boss profits in Vegas. That's, I never bet against the casino.
1989, Warner Brothers releases the superhero film Batman, directed by Tim Burton, starring Michael Keaton, Jack Nicholson, Kim Basinger, Billy Dee Williams, and Jack Palance.
Do I believe that or not? 1990, Clarice Starling speaks to Hannibal Lecter for help on a case.
1991, Harry Potter sets a snake loose from the zoo on his cousin Dudley Dursley's birthday, and he felt like an ass.
Same day, same year, Sega Enterprises introduces its flagship game, Sonic the Hedgehog, for the Sega Genesis in the U.S.
1995, Drug Variety magazine announces that the anti-depression drug Gleminox, produced by Roratore Pharmaceuticals, topped the weekend sales chart for June 15th through the 18th. It even beat penicillin, because people really needed to feel good.
1997, Eastman Kodak Company and Motorola Incorporated announce a technology partnership to develop new, lightweight, inexpensive digital cameras. The move is an effort to compete with Japanese competitors.
2003, Linden Lab launches the multiplayer online virtual world, Second Life.
Is that even still around?
Sure.
I know you're not allowed to stream it on Twitch. More on that later.
Birthdays?
Mariel Jaffe is 32. Aphrodite Girl in Percy Jackson and Scream 4.
Melissa Rocks is 41 from True Blood. Katherine Kim, Bernadette on Big Bang Theory, and of course Batman, Harley Quinn.
It's animated, right?
Yes.
Damn shame. Joel Edgerton is 47. Episode 2 and 3. Remake of The Thing, Exodus Gods and Kings.
Selma Blair is 49 from Cruel Intentions, Hellboy, Legally Blonde, and wow, those shorts on Katherine Kim.
Martin Kleba is 64. Marty in the Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
Frances McDormand is 64 from Raising Arizona, Fargo, Burn After Reading, Those Three Billboards.
Brian Brown is 74 from Gorillas in the Mist, Cocktail, and FX.
Ted Shackelford is 75 from Knots Landing and Space Precinct.
Born this day no longer with us in 1916, Irene Wirth. 1971, King Lear and Death Trap.
1925, Miriam Carlin from The Rag Trade and the lady with the very interesting artwork in A Clockwork Orange.
On CBS, kids say the darndest things. Rerun of SWAT and another rerun of SWAT.
ABC's got Pressure Luck, American Housewife, the $100,000 Pyramid, and Card Sharks.
NBC, The Boss Baby, on a new The Blacklist.
I probably should have a comma there. Fox, Legends, Chef Morimoto, Monkfish Challenge for a new MasterChef, and Rock and Roll on a new Crime Scene Kitchen.
I'm just picturing that Spader is having to, like, dress up as a baby to try to get back at people that wronged him or something like that.
Wah.
Be fantastic.
Wah.
But it'd be the creepiest wah you've ever heard. Yet still mesmerizing. Fox, Legends, you already did that one. Yeah. CW, Nikki, Henry, and Evan follow a lead to a quiet town in Canada to learn more about the history of her family on a new Kung Fu and a new In the Dark.
Freeform, Cat struggles to get a movement off the ground and is faced with a life-changing opportunity. Sutton gets an unexpected call that threatens the progress she's made at therapy on a new The Bulb Type.
AMC, I know some of you may be disappointed that Black Widow isn't out yet, but that's all right. You can watch Salt.
True. FX, The Fate of the Furious, not spelled F8, damn it.
I want this stuff. FXX, Dave and Benny's friendship blossoms in strange and unexpected ways, leading them to confront questions of privilege, race, sexuality, and dermatology on a new Dave.
FXM showing Spy.
BBC America has Saving Private Ryan, all about British soldiers. And
Paramount has Role Models, in which you can learn all about the Whispering Eye.
Sufi has Armageddon.
TBS has a new full frontal with Samantha Bee, but tonight it's the Lifetime Movie Network because a fashion designer meets a new friend when she uses a rideshare app to take a car ride. But trouble arises when the woman realizes her new friend is protecting a dark secret that will guarantee their bond will never be broken. Taylor Spretler and Danielle Burgess star in Driven to the Edge.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your further adventures of Chad and Abby update. Abby meets Gabby at a wild yacht party that has two sexy contortionists performing. Stefan at the party tells Chad he made a sex video with Gabby's married sister. Maybe they're gonna screen it after the show. See, look, Stefan may seem a bit creepy, but he has not been the same since he was in the military and made to be a lab rat. He was in an elite force fighting on Bionic Island and left for dead. Hashtag Chabby. Forever.
Ooh, it's time to check your mailbox.
A show I have never seen before because I didn't have the money to subscribe to this channel when it was on. Looking at the days to come, I'm interested in seeing how you'll describe it without the use of the bleep button. Sorry I missed out on poker on Saturday. Unfortunately, I got very sick and didn't think anyone needed to see that on Zoom. And I really wanted to tune in for the music. Oh, well. Love and Rocket Launchers, that's from Drace. Well, Drace, that's okay. You're fine. Besides, it was an early night because of ZGQ Get Up, so the next time, we're going to finish that playlist as we barely put a dent into it. So, yeah! Oh, and here's a fun story for you. Two Australian co-hosts have a hard time keeping it together about Jeff Bezos going into space. Apparently, the rocket looks like it's compensating for something. And if you'd like to see the hilarity that ensues, follow the show. It's over at geekradiodaily.com, which is where you should send a note to podcast at geekradiodaily.com, or send the voicemail, text mail message to the magical numbers of
510-GRD-CROW.
It'll cost you to get on, but if you want free shipping back, you're going to have Prime.
Am I evil? Yes, I am. Diamond Head's classic heavy metal anthem became Metallica's greatest cover and one of the most iconic songs in heavy metal history. And now it comes to life in Am I Evil, the graphic novel. Hey everyone, this is Jack Mangan of the Metal Hall of Fame, MetalAsylum.net, the Deadpan Podcast, and Spherical Tomy. Learn more at the Am I Evil graphic novel Facebook page and at www.amievil-graphicnovel.com.
Hey, this is Natanya Barron, author of Pilgrim of the Sky. You're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
I mean, of all the books, you have so many books. Why would you just name one? Oh, because the liner is only but so long, I get you.
Actually, I'm looking for a Batman number 14.
That's a very serious book, man.
Indeed. What's at the shop, sir?
Well, from DC Comics, we've got Harley Quinn number 4, Teen Titans Academy number 4, Wonder Woman Black and Gold 1 of 6, and what strikes fear into the hearts of those who terrorize Gotham? Well, it used to be Batman. But something far more frightening than a mere man stalks the shadows. And it's after Gotham's villains. How savage must a monster be to haunt the dreams of monsters? In Batman Reptilian, one of six.
It's just, you know, Killer Croc. Marvel Gamma Flight kicks off five. Heroes Return, number one. Sword, number six. And you can ring in Pride Month with an amazing assembly of writers and artists from all walks of life. Wiccan and Hulkling, Iceman, Mystique and Destiny, Karma, Akiro, Nikki, Minoru, Carolina Dean. Celebrate these and so many more legendary characters from across the Marvel archive. Plus, some of Marvel's biggest LGBTQ plus moments get a special reprinting in Marvel's Voices Pride, number one.
From Boom Studios, we've got Firefly, number 30. Good Luck, one of five. Something is Killing the Children, number 17. From Dark Horse, we've got Imogen of the Weirding Way, or Wireding. Wait, it's got a Y in it. When number one, Lady Baltimore, The Witch Queens, 4 of 5. It's 20 years later, and Lucy and the world have moved on. Living in the suburbs of Spiral City, Lucy is married and has children, but all is not blissful. Her marriage is falling apart, her job has reached a dead end, and for mysterious reasons, she hasn't picked up the hammer in years. But as her domestic life begins to crumble, the secrets of the last 20 years, and the reasons Lucy really gave up being Black Hammer, began to resurface, threatening her family and the peace she has tried hard to find for herself in Black Hammer Reborn, number one.
At IDW Publishing, we've got Chained to the Grave, number 4 of 5, Sonic the Hedgehog 30th Anniversary Special, in case you didn't do the math earlier, Transformers Beast Wars, number 5, over at Image, Homesick Pilots, number 6, Old God Tales Through Time, 3 of 6, Spawn Universe, number 1, and An Unsettling Tale of Psychopaths, Sweet Love, and a Serial Killer Named Walter. And when Walter's best friend, an FBI agent charged with his capture, is kidnapped by a death cult of all-female sunflower farmers, Walter finds himself deep within an underground labyrinth filled with secrets and monsters. But are their monsters more horrific than his? Is it reptilian? No, it's Vinyl, number 1 of 6.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view. We've had movies, both theatrical, straight to video, but now the best Final Fantasy game is getting a TV series.
Final Fantasy VII? Zodiac Age? Crystal Chronicles?
Okay, actually it's Final Fantasy IX, one of the most beloved entries in the JRPG series, getting a cartoon adaptation aimed at 8 to 13 year olds.
Will they go on some form of Dragon Quest? Uncover the secret of mana? Whatever this will be, the ultima.
Released more than 20 years ago, Final Fantasy IX was seen as a return to the series' fantasy roots after the previous games, Final Fantasy VII and VIII, introduced audiences to a darker, more technopunk version of the franchise.
Oh, I know, I can't think of anything more technopunk than a slap-off, snowboarding, riding a dolphin to Junon.
It will be interesting to see how Cyber Group Studios tackles some of Final Fantasy IX's darker subject matter. You know, kids are smarter and more culturally aware than TV executives like to give them credit for. It might still be difficult to navigate Final Fantasy IX's themes of death, depression, war, and genocide in ways 8 to 13-year-olds can handle.
It should be fine. They've been playing Fortnite.
Overall, making a children's show out of Final Fantasy IX makes the most sense. It's more lighthearted, the aforementioned genocide and war themes aside, than its predecessors were, and its plot is fairly straightforward. No Sephiroth clones or memory-wiping monsters living in your brain to keep track of. The kids will be fine. They live by a very easy motto. World only have two things. Things you can eat, and things you know can eat.
Steven Spielberg has had an interesting few years. He caused a little drama a few years ago for his purported belief that movies made for Netflix that get theatrical award season runs shouldn't qualify for Oscars. Then he worked with Apple TV and whatever the hell Quibi was.
You know, they're going to need a bigger truckload of money if they ever want to get him for Netflix.
Funny you mention that. Now the filmmaker has entered a new partnership with none other than Netflix.
Really? They should have asked NBC how that Amazing Stories deal worked out for them.
Spielberg's Amblin Partners has made a deal with the streamer that will coexist alongside the director's current deal with Universal Pictures. Neither Universal nor Netflix will have first look power over Spielberg's upcoming projects, but the deal with Netflix means Spielberg's production house will develop multiple movies per year for streaming.
So he can bring more quality projects like AI, War of the Worlds, The Sugarland Express.
Spielberg added in his own statement, "At Amblin, storytelling will forever be at the center of everything we do, and for the moment Ted and I started discussing a partnership, it was abundantly clear that we had an amazing opportunity to tell new stories together and reach audiences in new ways."
But not to win awards, though, right?
Well, in spite of Spielberg's public rumble with Netflix back in 2018, the news is not entirely surprising, given the director's trajectory. For nearly a decade, Spielberg has talked about the movie industry's slow but certain push towards VOD content, and Spielberg's been involved on streaming shows from the production side like Showtime and Paramount Plus's upcoming Halo series. While some might be quick to poke a bit of schadenfreude at Spielberg, teaming up with his one-time nemesis, and Netflix's deal is certainly a major get for them, it's not quite as surprising as many may think it to be. Just be happy he and Netflix no longer have a duel. And they might be partners always. Unless, of course, he tanks Netflix with a CGI director's cut of Jaws.
Hey, streaming fans. What's the newest and hottest streaming you can view right now?
Is it the hot tub meta?
Oh, please. That's so early 2021. Nowadays, the hot thing on Twitch are ASMR audio streams that approximate a level of intimacy some might consider a little too sexual. And those who have tested the limits of what auditory content is allowed on the platform have already received the ban hammer in response.
Like what? Are they reading the story of O out loud or something?
Perpetual Twitch provocateur Amaranth, along with the model Indie Fox Live, have been temporarily taken off the live streaming service following some bizarre video clips that have gone viral on social media. While Twitch never comments on bans, the timing coincides with the debut of a clip in which Amaranth wears a horse mask, neighing, and sometimes takes the entire microphone into her mouth to make slurping sounds.
As horses are known to do.
Similarly, if you click on Twitch's ASMR tag at the moment, the most popular streamer is a woman whispering with the occasional wet sound thrown in. The community has taken to calling such things earlick streams, which is kind of what they sound like.
Is digital cooties a thing? I heard computers can get viruses.
Indie Fox Live said that the ban was indeed due to sexual content. Prior to the disciplinary action, the streamer had shown herself doing a variety of yoga poses along with earlick ASMR.
Yes, the downward doggy style of yoga.
And you may say that this is another ploy for attention, particularly now that the hot tub streamers and their bikini-clad hosts aren't nouveau anymore. But Amaranth claims that her hot tub streams are doing fine once advertisements were reinstated.
Popular things are always the best, aren't they?
And she notes she's been doing ASMR streams all along. She's not pivoting to a new type of content.
To do ASMR, you have to be right up on the mic. I can only imagine what it smells like after they farted into the mics. And yes, they really did that. That was a thing.
And she's arguing the main reason folks are paying attention to ASMR, the category on Twitch right now, is because of the time she's put into it. And you know, not many people have ever worked as much on something that sucked so hard.
A security company is offering businesses a very unique surveillance service, the Voice of God. Well, not really. It's just a contractor from India who has made a booming, omniscient in-store narrator.
Mr. Movie Phone is back!
Live Eye Surveillance, which is based in Seattle, sells its security system to major chains like Shell and 7-Eleven, including a fairly unique feature. Live Eye's team hires a remote contractor, called Virtual Supervisors, who not only monitor everything going on in the store through security cameras, but can also phone into its speaker system and thus interact with people in the store. It's just another example of the growing trend of employee monitoring products that have exploded since COVID took millions of workers remote. Albeit, a pretty absurd one.
Attention shopper, this is not a library. You're gonna buy that magazine?
In some cases, LiveEye's tool is used for security purposes. For example, two masked men enter a 7-Eleven, one toting what looks like an assault rifle. As they attempt to rob the cashier, the Live Eye operator's disembodied voice kicks into gear.
This is Live Eye Security. This is to inform you that you are under CCTV surveillance, and we have called 911.
The bandits run out at the door, bewildered by the apparent convenience store deity that has chastised them.
Or maybe it just sounded like Ed 209.
It really seems like a scene straight out of Born in East L.A. On top of this, what LiveEye's product is mostly designed to do is surveil employees and regulate how they work. In another video posting on the company's website, it shows the voice interrogating a convenience store employee whose friend has stopped by to visit. Basically, the tool can be used as an ever-present manager tasked with literally looking over the shoulder of employees at all times. I don't know if they didn't read Batman's Brother Eye or if they were inspired by it. I just know the sales video they have is in rather poor taste, especially with Alan Parsons' Eye in the Sky playing on repeat.
A new study demonstrates the important role that planting new commercial forests could play in the fight against climate change by including new accounting of greenhouse gas mitigation achieved from future use of harvested wood.
Just like the Untouchables, accountants will make it happen.
The study applied a time-dependent assessment to capture the complex dynamics of carbon uptake, storage, and partial eventual release back to the atmosphere alongside product and energy substitution by wood products over a 100-year time frame.
So it started a century ago, or we figured out if we're still here next century?
A major finding of the study is that future deployment of carbon capture and storage CCS technology that extracts CO2 from exhaust gases during energy generation locks it away in old oil well gas wells, transforms wood bioenergy into a negative emission technology capable of removing CO2 from the atmosphere long term.
And starve the trees? Think, people, what would tree beard think?
John Healy, study co-author and professor of forest sciences at Bangor University, says new commercial forestry doesn't necessarily have to be harvested in the future, depending on the future comparative value of keeping carbon in the ground versus storing it in various wood products and finally using it for bioenergy, preferably with CCS to keep it out of the atmosphere. Therefore, planting new commercial forests is a flexible way to contribute to long-term climate stabilization goals and is remarkably robust to future assumptions about technological progress and wider decarbonization from the economy. Or, as he said at the celebratory party after a drink or two, future wood today helps guarantee happy endings for years to come. GRD is licensed with Creative Commons Attributions, non-commercial, non-derivative works, United States 3.0 license. See that on Twitch next week, kids.
Subtle.
Incredibly so. More so than putting on a horse mask and, oh my dear God. Hey, look, seriously, if that's your thing, we don't kink shame here, but I would love to understand. If you could help me in any way, shape, or form understand that, drop a note. Or tell us where Chad and Abby are and try to win yourself a prize, or just tell us any damn thing in the world you'd like. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. You can send a voicemail, a text message, use the magic numbers of
510-GRD.
See you next time.
Okay, I love you. Bye bye.
Blah 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 blah.
Good night, suckers.
Scat. Skedaddle. Adios. Arrivederci. Ciao. Aloha. Fuck off.
Bluish hue.
Okay, I was driving around last night in my $62,000 car, and I'm trying to think up a name for the drug, and suddenly it hit me.
The name?
No, a bird. It hit my windshield. When that happened, I got depressed.
Not you, Cisco.
Yeah, even me. But as soon as I got depressed, I got undepressed, because as I was cleaning the gleaming guts of that bird off my windshield, I thought of the name for the drug. Gleamin' X! Logan, Gleamin' X makes it feel like it's 72 degrees in your head all the time. Oh.